Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Fudzen Inc. Limited Q3 FY25 earnings conference call, hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Anushka Chitnis from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. On behalf of Arihant Capital, I would like to welcome everyone to the Q3 and 9-month FY25 earnings conference call of Fudzen Inc. Limited. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome the management of Fudzen Inc., represented by Mr. Milind Dalal, Managing Director, Mr. Moloy Saha, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Anand Krishnan, Chief Financial Officer. Now, without further ado, I will hand the conference call over to Mr. Anand Krishnan, CFO, for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anand Krishnan, the CFO at Fudzen Inc. Limited. Thank you for joining us, and I extend a very warm welcome to all. 25. Export shipment backlog of Q1 and Q2 was called off, which resulted in export tonnage growth. However, the domestic call-offs continued to be slow in Q3. The silver lining is that the rapid call-offs we started witnessing in the last week of December, which continued into the first month of Q4 as well. We are expecting most of the order backlog in the domestic markets to come up to speed by Q4 of FY25. We have more than doubled our tomato processing capacity, and since December, our new tomato processing plant is running at full capacity utilization. The low inventory holding period of the tomato business is expected to improve our working capital position as a business. With anticipation of a good summer in 2025, we are expecting to actually see a good growth going forward. Our new pastry line is doing very well. We will start the commercial production of two more lines in this vertical, which will result in doubling of capacity by the end of this month. Our frozen business has been expanding with client additions and incremental business with existing clients. Our focus on value-added new products is helping us get a foothold into newer clients. The spray drying expanded capacity is now at full utilization since December. Tetra Pak product development, along with product testing with brand aspect of requirement, is going on, which should help us garner traction in Tetra Pak in FY26. Only point of note that we would like to highlight is around 4.2 crores of forex MTM losses impacted our EBITDA margins and the other expenses in this particular quarter. Having come to the end of my opening remark, I would like to thank each one of you for your support and your invaluable presence on this call. Now, I request the moderator to open the forum for any questions or suggestions that you all may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kaustubh Shah from Wallfort PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I had a couple of bookkeeping questions. Firstly, what was the inventory level as of December end? September, I think it was around 600 crores. Any idea on the December numbers?
Your voice was breaking. Can you just repeat the question?
Yeah. Sorry. So I just wanted the inventory number for December end.
Around 600 crores.
600 crores?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So it has not moved significantly from September levels. It continues to be around that level only, correct?
Correct. That's right. That's also because we have built up inventories in the tomato business, right? As in, our newest capacity in tomato is fully running at capacity since December. So we have added to that, and some bit of guava has also been added.
Okay. Okay. So can you help us with the split of what would be tomato and what would be mango in this out of the 600?
I don't think we'll be able to give you that breakup right away.
Okay. Fair enough. Not an issue. Second question was that on this MTM loss, can you just explain a bit in detail as to why this loss was just in this quarter specifically?
Dr. Pierre, line is actually breaking in between. I don't know whether it's a problem at our end or yours. Maybe the moderator can confirm and let us know.
Mr. Kaustubh, I would request you to please use your handset.
Actually, I'm using the handset itself.
I would request you to be a little louder.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just wanted to understand what was this MTM loss, color on that, and how do we kind of avoid this, because it actually eats up a significant portion of our profits. So just wanted to understand that.
First up, it's a MTM loss. So basically, whatever was the closing rate as of December, based on that, you have to account it as per accounting standards, right?
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Your line was not very clear. I would request you to please repeat.
So obviously, it was regarding the MTM loss, and you were explaining regarding the accounting treatment of in days. I think that was the answer from your side, correct?
Correct. So basically, it's a notional loss that is there. So we had our forward positions, which were actually booked, which were against the confirmed orders that we actually have. And as of December, whatever was the rupee depreciation over and above the, hedge rate is what the MTM loss is. But having said that, it's notional in nature. We have anyway realized, we'll realize whatever contracts that we have at that particular hedge rate as such.
Okay, fair enough. Got it. Lastly, one more thing. So obviously, our guidance for FY25 was almost kind of flat as compared to FY24. So, which means around about 350 crores of top line for the Q4. So, are we confident of that, achieving that top line or in tonnage?
Yes.
So, around about 42,000 tons?
Yes.
Okay. And lastly, if I may speak in one last question. If I calculate the realization per ton for this quarter, it comes around about 128,000. Is that figure correct?
So, you have actually done a simple math. But it's not as complicated with respect to the numbers that we sell. So, I'd let you do that math. With respect to the public numbers that said, you would be best suited to do that math.
Okay, because why I'm asking this question, because if I do the same math for all other quarters or to go back in the history, this is the highest. So anything specific that you would like to highlight as to why it would be a higher number?
Okay, it is basically a lot of things, sorry, Mola here. A few things factored for any sale. This is basically what is the terms of the sale. Sometimes we sell X factory, some contract may be CIF basis, some contract will be a duty delivered. So we need to go to each and every sale to understand, to give a proper answer. So it's a mix. Maybe in this quarter, the export sales which you are talking about, maybe the duty delivered sales is more component than the CFR component. So naturally the sales value will be more because you are adding the duty part. So in the other period, earlier period, it may happen that our sales were CFR sales or FOB sales. So then the part-term realization will be lower side. So that's why to give a specific answer is difficult, but this is the factors which sometimes vary or mismatch the quarter-to-quarter per metric ton sales realization.
Cost of just to elaborate further on this, around 7.5 crores worth of DDP shipment was actually done. So that would have actually been added to our top line this quarter, as well as the other expenses would have actually gone up, because whatever we sell under DDP shipment basis in the top line is also a part of our cost.
Understood. So this was very helpful. Thank you so much. I'll join back with you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhargav from Ambit Capital AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon team, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is, in the press release you mentioned that since December, the domestic offtake has also started picking up. So how confident are you that you sort of see strong growth in the domestic business, meaning you have a good visibility on call out as well till March?
I believe Yamala here. Yes, we have a good visibility so far. In fact, I'll suggest that if you can read today's newspaper, Times of India, where it is in the first page, it is mentioned that April heat came in February itself. Though this may not be a good scenario for the crop, specifically vegetables, but for the juice industry or beverage industry, this is a good scenario because if there's early summer, then the consumption in India on the beverage industry for both juice as well as carbonated drinks is generally increased. So this shows that whatever we are getting the projection and that is in line with that. Yes, tomorrow is something happened in a different way. We can't comment, but as of today, we are quite bullish, and also the most of the customers in the domestic market also given a very positive indicator.
Okay. Secondly, sir, on this tomato processing capacity you mentioned, now it's operating at full utilization. What can be the run rate from this business that we can expect maybe in FY26? Because 24 you did about 49 odd crores. I'm not so sure about 45, about 9 months FY25, but if you can share that number and also some guidance on 26.
So, as of today, whatever crop projections are there, if that's going to come, then definitely we expect that it can be double of last year with a mix of this year and less. I mean, some of the sales will come in this financial year and balance will come the next financial year. So, we are expecting to produce till April. If so, then we are expecting more than double revenue from this sector.
So it can be 100 odd crores in 26, you are saying?
I'm taking it's a split between this financial year and next financial year. So I'm giving a crop scenario. In the 2023 crop, whatever revenue we have generated against the tomato, this year we are expecting to make it double.
Okay, understood. Is it possible to give some update on what's happening on the Kusum Spice business? Because in the press release, we aren't that optimistic because we mentioned we haven't achieved the desired results. What is the game plan over here? Because it's been a fairly long time that we've done this acquisition and it continues to be fairly subscale.
Yeah, you are correct. We have taken, it's almost quite a long time, more than 3 years, or 4 years. We are very optimistic, and the purpose of this taking over or acquisition of this facility, we have some objective, and though it's delayed, but we are in the same line. We have started entering in the retail market, though in a slow pace, but in a different geographical area. So we are strategized in a two way. One is the geographical expansion. That is something we are looking, which can give more visibility or presence of our product. Initially, it may take some time to get the result, but once we able to achieve the substantial presence of most of the retail store, then we can see a good revenue. And second is in the export market also, we are penetrating because export market now opened up again. So we are penetrating with the pesticide residue free products, which is a long journey because you need a contract farming product, all these things. So we are quite bullish on this sector. And as of now, we are in line as per our projection.
So Bhargav, just to add on to this, what we actually meant in the investor note is basically with respect to the geographical expansion that we have actually done, in those markets, the brand is not really well known. So we need to do a lot of activations there, a few campaigns there to actually get the brand noticed. So that is what we actually meant. So as of now, without those campaigns, we have not got very positive results is what we meant.
Sure. Any update on the Tetra Recart and the Pectin JV, which you may want to share?
Tetra Recut, I mean, it's a story that we have actually told you time and again that it's something that we have actually built for a lot of brands. The testing is still on. Nobody has confirmed orders with us as yet. Since it's a shelf life of up to 2 years without any preservatives, it's undergoing that process wherein people have the brands have actually made products which they want under their brand name, and they are keeping it at their end to actually do a QA analysis of how it tastes after 3 months, after 6 months, after a year, and so on and so forth as such. So maybe we might be able to give you something on this pretty soon, but as of now, nothing in hand. But with respect to our own brands, we are doing a lot of work. We have put in a lot of work, and we have already activated our brand. It's something that you know. So we are just trying to onboard. We have already onboarded a particular MasterChef based out of South. It's something that we have actually not put up in the investor note, but then he's built a few products for us under his own brand, and hopefully that should be out in the market pretty soon.
Okay. And the Pectin JV, sir?
With respect to the Pectin JV, we have already started commercial production on that. And this quarter end, by this quarter, I mean Q4 end, you should actually see some numbers on that.
Okay. And lastly, sir, is it possible to share what has been the operating cash flow in 9 months, if it is available?
It's not readily available with me as of now, but probably we can just discuss on this later.
Sure, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you very much and all the very best.
Thank you so much, Parvez.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shubham Biswal from Convergence Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. A good set of results, sir. Actually, I had one question on the qualitative side. So what I'm concerned about is, are we spreading our business too thin? I mean, so what, and I'll be more specific. So where do we see synergies in our businesses? So for example, do we see synergies on the supply side, say on the RM sourcing side, or on the operational side where we have similar manufacturing capabilities, fungible capacities, or more on the demand side where on the distribution side? So I want to understand, is there a possibility that we are spreading too thin, or there are synergies in the business that are helping each other? Or like, are we using the learnings of one business and applying it to another, thus building our economies of learning? So that was my first question. Yeah.
Okay. With respect to whether we are spreading ourselves thin, the answer to that is a definite no, because if we thought that we are spreading ourselves thin, then we wouldn't be in the business doing what we are. That's number one. But having said that, just to highlight what the synergies in our businesses are, so the pulping business is all fruits and vegetables. The spray-dried fruits and vegetables also is from the fruits and vegetables itself, and the clients are almost very similar, all B2B clients as such. The frozen food is something which is not probably very aligned to what we actually do with respect to the fruits and vegetable pulping, but then again, it's fruits and vegetables which are a part of frozen foods as well, and we also do a bit of snacks in that particular part of the business. So these are our major verticals. The Tetra Recut, spices, and Pectin are the newer projects that we have actually done. Spices is something which is a very large industry size that is there, and the opportunity to grow there is phenomenal. And since our sourcing skills are actually there, so we thought we bought that particular brand at a great valuation, and we are very confident of growing that business to scale. So we went into that particular business. And having said that, we also wanted to have our presence in the branded space as a company. So Tetra Recut is something that we wanted to focus on because it's a USP for us. Say, example, in the Kusum Masala business, our USP has not been to actually say we make spices, but in a Tetra Recut thing, the USP is actually to say we can give you products which can have a shelf life of around 2 years and without any preservatives. So that's the USP that is there. And this packaging is something that is not available in the market apart from what we do as of today in India. So that's something that we actually can sell as a USP. So we are extremely confident on that. And last but not the least, Pectin business is something that we make out of the waste that we generate out of mango. So it has complete synergies with what we do.
This is Milan Dalal here. I'll quickly just kind of give you these two statements that willy-nilly, if you look at it, primarily we are into fruits and vegetables. For whatever reason, the Government of India, Ministry of Food Processing, also allocated to us the PLI under fruits and vegetables. So it's a segment and we haven't deviated from there. You may call our spice division as the glamour as in the movie that you could have some glamour. The glamour has to actually work wonders. And pectin is a no-brainer. It is creating wealth from waste and ultimately the sustainability and everything what all the companies in the world, our customers want us to do. So this is a bit of a brief apart from what Anand gave you in detail.
Right. Thank you, sir. That was a really detailed answer. The second question I had was, again, it's a two-part question, sir, but this is the final question. So I wanted to understand, like, how we are thinking about the spice. So when we acquire our Kusum spices, right? So in India, I think spices is a very regional play, right? I mean, we have very few, I think, 2-3 pan-India players. And even a lot of MNC players quit this space because it was very difficult to scale because it's very regional, it's very local. So, and we need to have like dedicated super stockists, and sometimes it takes even a decade to reach a certain milestone, right? So how are you thinking about this business? Are you thinking like this business, is it like occupying a lot of your time, or is the return on time invested good, or how are you thinking about this business? This is just one part of the question, sir. Yeah.
Shubham, the scale at which we actually acquired this business was around 16-17 crore of turnover when we actually acquired this business. So the room for us to grow even to 100 crore is quite easy, even without too much of geographical expansion, to be very honest. I completely agree with you that it is region specific in India, but in the export markets, it's not so. So we are also present in the export markets and we also hope to scale there. But having said that, the domestic markets are also a focus for us. So, I don't think there is any reason for us to doubt whether we'll go to 100 crore initially and then so on and so forth, you know.
Right. Right. Thank you, sir. I mean, I've been closely tracking this business and I'm a happy investor. Thank you, sir. That was all from my side. Yeah. All the best of you, sir. Yeah.
Then what time valuation? So there is no time value of money that we actually have. As in, we have grown as a business. The first 2 years was obviously a loss, basically because of COVID, which was actually there. As in, we didn't want to invest more in that business at that point of time. But having said that, now we are actually investing every profit that we make into growing scale into that in terms of people, in terms of distribution and all those things. And it's a separate team which actually takes care of this. So the management bandwidth is not distributed to that, but it's only oversight that we actually have at the management level.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amish Kanani from Novice Investments Manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, sir. I would request you to please use your handset.
Yeah, just substitute for handset. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sir. Sir, you know, I just have a question on 9-month, overall numbers. If I see the numbers in the presentation, we've done 6,000 tons less of, sales or production and about 60 crores lower sales on a YOY basis for 9 months. The equal split between domestic and exports. The question is, but we are saying that for the third quarter, at least we miss some domestic call-off is what we are saying. So the first question, sir, is it possible to give us some sense of, whether the 60 crores lower sales, is it a catch-up that we can expect in the fourth quarter because of the lower domestic call-off, which might happen in fourth quarter, sir?
I think with respect to the Q4, we have already spoken on this itself as to what we are targeting. There was a gentleman who asked before this, so it's all covered in this.
Sure. I missed it. Maybe I'll catch up and take the transcript note. The second question in that context is that, our gross margin, which was for 9 months, 41% versus, 32% in last year, much higher margin. But I think we lost quite a bit of, that in the operating expense on a 9-month basis. So if you can give us some sense of where, you know, we have kind of increased our expense. I understand there was this 4 crore mark-to-market loss that, you know, we have explained. But if you can give us some sense of where we are spending, is it, you know, advertising and selling or some other expense of the new plant and stuff like that, sir?
Okay. So with respect to the other expenses also, I think we explained on this particular call itself, there was around 7.5 crores worth of DDP shipment that we actually did, which is also in the top line as well as in the other expenses part of it as such. So that has also contributed to the increased other expense which is there. And there is a 4.2 crore Forex MTM loss that we have explained.
Okay, okay. Yeah, actually, sir, the line were in between not very clear, so sorry for that. Maybe I'll catch up on you. Thanks a lot and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Arnav Sakhuja from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So, in the last call, you had mentioned a tie-up with Punjab Sindh for some green top covers. So, I just wanted to check, you know, what is the progress on that tie-up and are we planning to continue expanding our association with Punjab Sindh going forward?
Yes. It's in the line, whatever you have discussed, we are already scaling up. Operation initially started with Mumbai region. Now, we are expanded to Goa. Now we are also now talking to Hyderabad and other regions. So I think it's in track. So we are expecting that this association of between, I mean, both the companies will give a good result in near future.
Okay, thanks. And my second question is, are we continuing to receive PLI benefits right now?
Yes, PLI benefits.
So, with respect to FY24 is what we have actually filed a claim for as of December of 2024. And as we speak today, also there was a query which was actually asked by the ministry and we are responding to that. So, the last year the experience was that by end of March is when we actually received, end of March 2024 is when we actually received claims for FY23. Hopefully, we are on track to receive this year's claim as well, as in for FY24.
And what is the expected amount, what is the amount expected to get for FY24?
We have filed a claim of around 27 odd crores.
27 crores. Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anisha, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead. Ms. Anisha, I would request you to unmute your line and speak, please.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, I would request you to speak a little louder.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I just have a couple of questions. Like you have mentioned a foray into saving and vegan labor. What is the progress on that? What is possibility of materializing this year?
I didn't understand your question. You said, some forum or something is what you mentioned?
You have mentioned the foray into CV like cocoa water.
So with respect to that, a lot of R&D is going on, but we haven't, got any success on that as yet.
Okay, so I have more questions. Like, can you talk about your main client for mango, tomato and guava pulp? What is the customer concentration like across this segment? Any new clients addition happening on this side?
So 60% of my revenue comes from my top 10 clients. And the top 10 clients, most of them have been put in the investor presentation. You can probably have a look at it.
Okay. And so how is the domestic retail expansion going beside Punjab and Sindh? Any other partners on the horizon?
Punjab and Sindh.
The last question, we just
mentioned that our association with Punjab and Sindh is in the good progress. Initially started in Mumbai region. Now we are expanding to other geography also. Goa started. We are looking at Hyderabad and so on. So we are expecting a good successful association with them, which will give a good result in near future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Narendra from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. Most of the questions have been answered, just one question. So you said that revenue is going to be flat in FY25. So do we have any visibility for
26 or maybe 2-3 years down the line, if you could share something with us.
Narendra, there is a public number that we have spoken of over FY27 internally, what we want to actually achieve. So we have guided for around 1700 odd crores by FY27. And I mean, that's something that we have as a target internally, and we have built capacities for that. But having said that, only thing that all of us need to know is basically our business model is a cost plus model. So the top line is a function of the raw material price. That's the only caveat to it.
Okay, understood, sir. But given the scenario, current market scenario, right? So we are still confident of achieving that target. Am I right? Barring any raw material fluctuations.
FY27, I will not be able to cut it, but this is something that we have given as a guidance. But as I told you, it's the only caveat to that is the raw material price. So FY25, we are reasonably confident.
Okay, sir. Understood. And margins would be, ours is a cost plus model, so I'm assuming the margins should be protected, right?
We are obviously trying to improve the margins. So, I mean, at some point of time with the larger scale, we hope to improve the margins.
You can see that EBITDA improvement is always, if you see last few quarters, there's EBITDA improvement. So, we are targeting that, and we are quite positive that that will going to improve. And that shows that our focus on margin improvement is on.
Understood, sir. So thank you so much, and all the best. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Gori, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. And my question is related to the preferential allotment which was made some time back. And I had a couple of questions which are interlinked. What I want to know is, if that particular amount was used to repay any debt, or all that is being used for expansion only. And the other question is related to the finance cost. So as I see, can you throw some light on finance cost, whether we can expect it to go down?
The first question was with respect to the preferential allotment usage of money. So it was all for the working capital that we have actually used and the capex that we have actually done. So, we have expanded capacities under the PLI. That's the public information which is actually available. And apart from the PLI also, we have doubled our tomato capacity. So all the money has actually gone in for the capex as well as the incremental working capital which is actually required. With respect to the increasing finance cost, you had something to ask?
No.
Yeah. With respect to the increasing finance cost, two things need to be kept in mind. One, the greenfield capacity that we actually, had to complete by 31st of March 2024, as per the PLI, has already commenced. And also the other non-PLI capex that we actually did has also commenced. So the interest cost, which used to actually hit the balance sheet earlier because of non-commencement, has now started hitting the P&L. So that's one part of it. So the depreciation and the finance cost have actually risen because of that. So around 2.5 crores of extra capex related interest cost have actually started hitting the P&L from, the last couple of quarters.
Right. Can you also throw some light on the current debt position? What is the current net debt?
Around 350-60 crores of working capital debt is what we have, and around 70 crores of long-term debt.
Okay. Are you confident, and do you see that we are going to reduce this debt in the near future? What is your plan of reducing the debt in the near future?
Our plan is to increase the business and to increase our margins. That's our broad-based plan. So the debt, this is a working capital intensive business. So that needs to be kept into context. Once we grow scale, maybe our cash flow from operations might help us to reduce the debt. But having said that, our first intention is to actually grow scale.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. I want to express my gratitude to all our investors and shareholders for their continued support. Should you need any further clarifications or would you like to know more about the company, please feel free to write to us. Thank you so much and good day.
Thank you. This is Milan Dalal signing off.
Thank you, Mola Shah, signing off.
Thank you. Ms. Anushka, your line has been unmuted.
Thank you. On behalf of Arihant Capital, I would like to thank the management of Foods & Inns for giving us the opportunity to host them. Thank you so much, sirs.
Thank you so much. Good day.
Thank you.
On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.